go straight into it. So as Pastor Tinu said, King's Institute really is about development. Someone say development. Okay, it's about growth, it's about development. And we want to create the context for developing ourselves in the identity of royalty according to scripture. Okay, so to help me, I'm going to transition out of plane. Otherwise, this will become a prophetic thing. So please, yeah, thank you. We love you, Jimra. Thank you so much. I think I have some feedback, but I'm not sure where it's coming from. But okay, all right. So I'm going to be sharing on key principles of rest. Key principles of rest, and we look forward to everything. So how do we want you to approach today? It's still church, right? Okay, still church, but we want you to be relaxed. We want you to soak in the information. We want you to participate, okay? All right, so let's turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 2 from verses 1 to 3. Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Is it coming from me? Is it coming from me? No. Okay, is it that? Is it too close? Okay. Okay, that should be better, I think. Okay. So Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Genesis 2, 1 to 3. So the Bible says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he what? Rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. It's coming up to the end of the year. I figured out a few years ago about myself that one of the things that I experienced at the end of the year is not so much burnout, but I started to realize that I had to be quite aware of the fact that I had dispensed a lot of energy as the year. Does that make sense? So towards December, intentionally, I try and take it easy in that sense. So the idea of rest, and today we're going to look at rest from different angles: spiritual rest, emotional rest, physical rest. But the idea of rest is a very interesting concept. It's something in my upbringing that I would say that I struggled with a little bit, because most of the things that were said to me were around avoiding sleep, avoiding laziness, working hard. Although they didn't mention that we should work smart, but at least they told us to work hard. We'll accept it. All right? Working hard, being diligent. So by virtue of my culture and upbringing, everything is wired towards going and chasing and all of those things. And thank God for those things. But there's something called the whole counsel of God. And the whole counsel of God essentially is having the totality of God's perspective on life, right? And if I don't come to the place where I receive the whole counsel of God, I will become a believer who is not balanced. And when I'm not balanced, my spirituality may be a frustration to me. So when we read the scriptures, one of the things about the book of Genesis is that the book of Genesis is a foundational book. Someone say foundational. Yeah, it's a foundational book. And in the book of Genesis, you have a lot of the laws of first mention. The law of first mention simply just describes that anything that is mentioned for the first time in scripture mostly establishes the principle by which we practice that thing. So for example, when you read the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God created the earth, okay, in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. So that's now not just a narrative, that's a principle. Do you see that? Okay, so what God is doing here is that he's not just giving us a narrative. Are we still together? Okay, what God is doing here is that he's not just giving us a narrative, he's giving us a principle. Someone say a principle. So one of the first key principles on rest is that rest is a foundational principle. right? It is, someone says, a foundational principle, right? It's a foundational principle, or is an essential central principle. When you think of the word foundations, right, a foundation is that which is able to hold up a superstructure. Do you see what I'm saying? All right, so the foundation of a thing essentially determines the height, the functionality, the size, and the relevance of that building. Okay, and in the same way, when we talk about rest being a foundational principle, rest essentially has it has an effect on how you live your life, because it is a foundational principle. Actually, it's one of the most foundational principle of scripture. The Bible says that God worked for 6 days, and the Bible makes time to establish that God rested. Now, the problem that we have is that we only understand, or we mostly understand, rest from the perspective of that which I do when I am tired. Did you hear what I said? This is a challenge. The challenge is we mostly process rest as something I do as a result of tiredness. But we see, according to scripture, we know that God does not go weary. Do you see that, what I'm saying? We know that God can never be tired. God doesn't go weak. So the very fact that God rested establishes a principle for us that rest is not a response to tiredness. I will undervalue the, you know, there's, I told you, there's a way you can shake your head that will make me start teaching. So don't do that to me today. I will undervalue the potency of rest if all that I use rest for is my response to tiredness. So the first revelation of rest in scripture was not a response to tiredness. It's actually the way of the divine. It's the way of the God kind. Does that make sense? It's a foundational principle. I don't have too long because we still have to. Okay, so that's the first thing. It's a foundational. The second thing is that what we see according to Genesis chapter 2. Now, this is important. Rest is holy. Rest is holy. So let's go back to that scripture. Are we still here? Okay. So if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, it says in verse 3, it says, "So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done." So rest is actually holy. That is what it is, right? And it is holy because rest is actually part of worship. That is why I'm laughing, because, you know, when I seen the revelation, so I'm thinking, how am I gonna end this stream? That is why when God established the day of worship, he also established the day of rest. The Sabbath day is also the day of rest. The Sabbath day, the day of worship that God established for the Israelites, was also the day he established rest. So if I say I worship but I don't rest, I haven't worshiped. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? My worship is severely lacking, okay, by my inability to rest. So God establishes worship and rest. And that's why, for example, we will come to understand according to scripture. The Bible says, when we talk about physical rest, all right, Lady B has been on my case, because she said that I can't go bald, like, because some hair started getting missing. You know, it's that age. Where it starts, but we refuse it in Jesus' name. Amen. So she looked at me, she said, "You are not allowed to." You're not allowed to. Okay, so you know my journey with rest. That's what I'm saying. But we can all learn from this. Amen. Yeah. Rest is really, really about worship. So you think of what the Bible says. The Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you talk about physical rest. So essentially, to not look after our bodies from the perspective of physical rest is to dishonor God. Okay? Right? To not look after, because if our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? You need your body for your assignment. You need your body for the work that God has given to you. Does that make sense? You need, Jesus says, a body you have prepared for me. Think of that. A body you have prepared for me. So in talking about physical rest, for example, to not engage in physical rest is to not worship. The word worship is a comprehensive word. The singing element of worship is an expression of worship. It's not worship. It is an expression of worship. The word worship is actually vast. Worship is how I treat people because of my reverence for God. Worship is how I live my life. Does that make sense? All that happens when we sing actually is that our songs essentially translate our essence to God. So it's not just your song that goes up. It is the entire. Not here I am to worship. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins on the cross. If you're saying that, but you don't mean it, what's going up to heaven is what you don't mean. So essentially your song communicates your essence. So rest really is about reverence. That God gave me this life. I'm not going to misuse it. Does that make sense? Are we getting it? So rest is an expression of what? It's an expression of worship. Does that make sense? So the third point, because of my time, is rest is synonymous with grace. Rest is synonymous with grace. We are new covenant believers. And one of the blessings of the new covenant is rest. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of God and Jesus our Lord. Right? Rest is synonymous with one of the evidences that we have received grace is how much rest we walk in. Right? And we'll look at spiritual rest, emotional rest, okay, physical rest. But these things actually, they evidence our understanding of the gospel and grace. Okay? The fourth point, are we still here? Right? Now, this is very important. This is like the previous point, but this expands more on it. Rest is evidence of faith. Rest is what? Yeah, rest. One of the ways that you know that you've come to believe God over something is if rest is your posture. Does that make sense? Right, okay. Pastor Tino was saying, did you say that there's food today, there's snacks, okay. How many of you are hungry at the moment? In all honesty, you didn't eat this morning. You're hungry. Okay, when Pastor Tinu said that, did you start worrying whether you will get food? Did you start worrying? Okay, or were you agitated about whether the food will reach you? Why? Because you believe what she said. Yeah, the evidence, one of the key evidences of believing God is actually resting in Him. Right? One of the traumas of the unbeliever is the ability not to rest. Can I take it up a notch? Don't fight me. I'm not coming for you. Don't fight me. Right? Restlessness is one of Satan's core characteristics. He goes about the to and fro the earth looking for he's not settled. He's not settled, right? But those that are in God, look at what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Please note this down. Hebrews 4, verse 3. It says, for we who have believed enter that rest. as he said, as I saw in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. God was talking to the people of Israel who essentially did not follow through with his plan. And God said to them that as a punishment, watch this, for disobedience, they will enter rest. Yeah, Hebrews 4:3. God said, are you with me, family? Are we together? God said a punishment for disobedience is not entering rest. So that means when we have believed in Jesus Christ, a benefit must be entering rest. He says, those of us that have believed have entered rest. Right? The idea of rest is first spiritual before it translates. It's first spiritual capital. Rest is not... it's not something you get at the end of a process. No. Rest is like a gift. You see, so the struggle sometimes is we feel like I can't enter rest until my bills are paid. You know what I'm talking about, right? I can't enter rest until I finish this. I can't enter rest until I've married. I can't enter rest. You would never enter rest that way. Right? Rest is a product of believing in God. And that spiritual rest that you have now begins to translate into physical rest, emotional rest, because you're not anxious. It is not normal to not be able to sleep at night. Can I show you one scripture to that effect? How long do I have fasted in it? Left. I have 20 minutes left. Oh, brilliant. Okay. All right. So let me show you one scripture. Okay. Let's go to Psalm 133. You know, we're not fighting, right? We're talking to each other. Yay. All right. Psalm 133 this one is not moving. Let me get it on here. Rest and peace are synonymous. Do you know that? Yeah. Rest and peace. Psalm 133. You version, they just changed their app. I'm struggling with this new one. I don't know if you've noticed. Yeah. All right. Okay. No. Did I say 133? No, I think 127. Yeah, sorry, 127. They both deal with the church. So sometimes I can mix them up. Okay, Psalm 127 from verse 1. Look, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. How can you build and still labor in vain? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. How can you be practically building something but you're still laboring in vain? It says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain, right? It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives what to his beloved? You don't want to say that because of conviction. He gives what? No, don't worry, in the same boat. I'm walking through mine. All right. He gives what? He gives to his beloved. Yeah. He gives sleep to his beloved. So essentially, even a lack of sleep is a product of anxiety, right? Which can be traced back to, remember what Jesus taught us on anxiety according to Matthew 6:33. Okay, he says, he talked up in that whole Matthew 6, he begins to talk about, don't worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, or what you will wear. All right, he said, look at the birds of the air. He says, your Father clothes them. So he says, don't be anxious, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. So the point here is, please hear me, don't be hard on yourself. The point here is, if our seeking of God's kingdom is optimal, our anxiety depreciates. Please don't be hard on yourself. Does that make sense? Right? If my focus If I understand what kingdom is, I begin to become anti-anxiety. Because you can't have both. That's what it is. The pursuit of the kingdom is opposite to the anxieties of life. You see that? So then, if I'm anxious, if I can't sleep, if I can't rest, and I know there could be medical conditions and things like that, and by God's grace, we can address that in prayer, it could be connected to the fact that I may have recently taken my eyes off kingdom. Or I have not entirely understood how kingdom works. We were in when Oxford last week, and I said something, so don't fight me. You know when I said my statement, that they said in love. So don't look at someone and say, don't fight him. Don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. I said something, and this will help you understand it. According to Jesus' grading, Jesus said, of all the men born in the kingdom, right, John the Baptist is the greatest. Of all the men born of woman, rather, John the Baptist is what? But Jesus said, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. So think of it. Of all the men born of woman, Abraham, Elijah, I'm making a point here. Abraham, Elijah, David, Enoch, who disappeared from his world, Noah, who else is great? Solomon, wise man, all of those things. Jesus says the highest ranking of men born of woman. Now, there's a different revelation there, because those of the kingdom, what are they born of? We'll deal with that next time. Okay, don't get me into it. All right. Okay, of all the men born of woman, the highest ranking is John the Baptist. But Jesus says the least in the kingdom. It's not that there's least in the kingdom. It was just trying to explain something. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Letting you know how God sees kingdom citizens. The superiority of kingdom citizens. So Jesus establishes that. But in Matthew 6, when he's talking about, you know, this kingdom life, he uses this analogy of the birds. And he says this. He says, like, even the birds don't worry about what they would eat or what they would wear. Is your life not worth more than that? That's what he said. So are you ready for this? This is why I said, don't shoot the messenger. So to be even anxious in certain way is living below the birds. That's why I said don't shoot the messenger. Because the birds in their discernment and their intelligence don't worry, and we are greater than them. They don't worry. So to descend to anxiety. Now, we are not saying here, this is not a condemnation talk. Please, I want to make that. Does that make sense? This is an empowerment thing. Does that make sense? We have a problem in the church today. When we touch certain things, it's too sensitive. It's too this. No, like, we don't mean that you are condemned. Does that make sense? It's like, if you're hungry and there's food, I don't keep talking to you about how hungry you are, how many years you've been hungry. Does that make sense? You know, what's the depth, the dimensions of the hunger? I could do that, but you just want to know there's food. Yeah, there's food for your rest. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is not said in any way that's insensitive. I hope I'm making sense here. If you're going through, you're navigating, you know, anxiety and all of these things, wow, look how much God has for us. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to blame yourself, you know, all of those things. What you can do is just understand the plan of God for you. So this, are we making sense so far? Have we balanced it? Have we balanced it? That's important. So here is the point. The point here is that understanding kingdom essentially is the antidote to a lack of rest. It cures anxiety, right? In kingdom, I begin to understand that I don't fend for myself. My government is responsible for me. It's when that revelation clicks. Okay, let me ask you here. Think of all the things you've been anxious about. Think of all the bad things that, no, this is going to happen. Has it all happened? Does that make sense? Think of the million thoughts. So anxiety itself is controlling. Do you see that? It's one of the weapons that the enemy uses against the church the most. It's anxiety. Okay, false evidence appearing real. You heard that before? All right. So, to try and conclude on what I've been saying, when we look at Psalm 127, the Bible says, he gives his beloved sleep. Now, notice that conversation did not start with sleep. It started with, because God is building with me, because God is watching over me, it translates to tranquility. Do you see that? Because God is with me, because God is working with me, because God, I love that scripture, all things work together for the good. There was a rendition I read a while back. I think I mentioned it here. It says, and we know that God being a partner in our labor, all things work together for the good. So it starts with that. So actually, spiritual rest translates into emotional rest, and it translates into physical rest because your mind is in the best state possible. Are we together? So those of us that have believed, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we enter what? Rest. Someone say rest. Okay, and we're going to look at practical things. Like I said, some of the things I've said here today, this is not to be, you know, super spiritual. Does that make sense? That, oh, no, we're a church. We believe in transformation. You're where you are. You walk through it. You're not any less spiritual for navigating processes. Does that make sense? Okay, so going back to that, rest is evidence of faith. The more our faith grows, thank you. The more our faith grows, the more restful we are. Your life is worth more than that of the birds. Okay, then the last one I will touch on is, rest is a posture of victory. Right, rest is what? A posture of victory. Right? Rest is the evidence that we understand that we are positioned in victory through Christ. Does that make sense? Rest is that, for example, the Bible says that God has raised us up and made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. All right? If you read Psalm 110, there is a beautiful revelation in Psalm 110. It's the revelation of the Father and the Son speaking. Okay, David saw this in his days. And it starts by, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. You see, the sitting at his right hand there is a revelation of rest. So rest and dominion are connected. Do you see what I'm saying? Someone say rest and dominion are connected. Someone say rest and victory are connected. Yeah. Rest is one of the ways that in a difficult season, in a difficult circumstance, you can actually navigate and implement victory is to stay in rest. Is to stay in rest. I was listening to a minister. I said something that I found quite interesting. He talked about spiritual warfare. And he said that one of the things that he would practice was, there were certain types of warfare that he would do after fasting, not just during fasting. In other words, what he said was that after he had fasted and felt empowered, right? And then maybe, maybe even eaten. Now, he didn't eat during his fast. I'm talking about after. Because of the strength and the clarity of mind, then he will now take on certain levels of intensity in prayer. You see, rest allows you. If we don't practice rest, we can miss key details in spiritual warfare because our minds are all over the place. So something might be going on. Genuinely, yes, it's true. Are we still together? You have challenges all over the place, and the reaction is to you know, run everywhere, find every solution. Your first reaction in crisis, interestingly, must not be panic, it must be rest. Because if you panic, your interpretation of circumstances may be wrong. Does that make sense? So rest allows you to actually maintain victory, because if you panic, you might, your diagnosis may be wrong. But rest, are we together? Rest allows you to have clarity. It allows you to establish, it's a posture of victory. So these are some key principles of rest. As we go through today, I've laid the spiritual foundation. We're going to be looking at, we have some workshops, you know, two workshops today. And then Pastor Tony is going to give us some practical tools on rest. And we don't want the conversation to stop here. Does that make sense? We want to keep developing it. We want to work with people. She will tell us some of the things that we're going to be doing to facilitate that. But the key thing here is to understand that from God's perspective, rest is spiritual. Does that make sense? And it runs through different facets and angles of life, but primarily rest is spiritual. So I'm going to welcome Pastor Tinu as she continues to help us navigate.